Mrs. Riley had been solidly behind Franklin Roosevelt for 4 terms, not because of the New Deal, but because his mother, Mrs. Sarah Roosevelt, seemed to have been respected and well-treated by her son. Mrs. Riley had also voted for the Truman woman standing before her Victorian house in Independence, Missouri, and not specifically for Harry Truman. To Mrs. Riley, Nixon and Kennedy had meant Hannah and Rose. Motherless candidates confused her, and in motherless elections, she stayed at home. Ignatius could not understand her sudden, clumsy effort to protect the American way against her son. Then there was Myrna, who had been appearing to him in a series of dreams that was taking the form of the old Batman serials that he had seen at the Britannia as a child. One chapter followed the other. In one gruesome chapter, he had been standing on a subway platform, reincarnated as St. James the Less, who was martyred by the Jews. Myrna appeared through a turnstile carrying a Nonviolent Congress for the Sexually Needy placard and began heckling him.
"Jesus will come to the fore, skins or not,"
Ignatius St. James prophesied grandly. But Myrna, sneering, pushed him with the placard onto the tracks before the speeding subway train. He had awakened just as the train was about to crush him. The M. Minkoff dreams were getting worse than the old terrifying Cena Cruiser dreams in which Ignatius, magnificent on the upper deck, had ridden doomed buses over the rails of bridges and into collisions with jets taxiing along airport runways. By night he was plagued by dreams, and by day by the impossible route that Mr. Clyde had given him. No one in the French Quarter, it seemed, was interested in hot dogs. So his take-home pay was getting smaller, and his mother, in turn, was getting surlier. When and how would this vicious cycle end? He had read in the morning paper that a ladies' art guild was having a hanging of its paintings in Pirate's Alley. Imagining that the paintings would be offensive enough to interest him for a while, he pushed his wagon up onto the flagstones of the alley toward the variety of artwork dangling from the iron pickets of the fence behind the cathedral. On the prow of the wagon, in an attempt to attract business among the Quarterites, Ignatius taped a sheet of Big Chief paper on which he had printed in crayon,
12 inches of paradise.
So far, no one had responded to its message. The alley was filled with well-dressed ladies in large hats. Ignatius pointed the prow of the wagon into the throng and pushed forward. A woman read the Big Chief statement and screamed, summoning her companions to draw aside from the ghastly apparition that had appeared at their art show.
"Hot dogs, ladies?"
Ignatius asked pleasantly. The ladies' eyes studied the sign, the earring, the scarf, the cutlass, and pleaded for him to move along. Rain for their hanging would have been bad enough, but this...
"Hot dogs, hot dogs,"
Ignatius said a little angrily.
"Savories from the Hygienic Paradise Kitchens."